All right. How many of you are excited to be here this morning?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad you are excited to be here, and I am glad that you are here in acknowledgement of the love that you have for our Savior Jesus Christ. It's the Sunday before Christmas, and it is time to remind ourselves why we celebrate, not just at Christmas, but all year long. Now, if you've been with us for the past few weeks, you know we've been in a series on having a relationship with Jesus. We've talked about how so many people, they know all the words from the scriptures. They know John 3:16. They've heard the preacher preach and the Sunday school teacher and mama and grandma. And they know all there is to know about the Bible. And they know the story of Jesus, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. We talked about how there's times where people come to church and they think that is their salvation. And church doesn't get it done. It's not a relationship with Jesus. We talked about how we can sing songs and we can pay tithe. We can even serve in the church and have a job and a role and still not have a relationship with Jesus. This whole series has been about having a relationship. And today is going to be no different. But what I want to say to you, and what I want you to leave here with today, if you don't leave with anything else, is that this Christmas, the relationship with Jesus is the gift. The relationship with Jesus is the gift. I'm going to share a couple of stories with you this morning. One, it's something that's taken me all these years to learn, and now I understand that it's just part of life and part of how kids think and part of how they play. But I remember when I first got married, Leslie, and we had kids about 7 years later, and we brought Bella into our home, and we started to do Christmas with our kids. We had all these dreams of what our Christmases were going to be like, and we would put up all the decorations, and we would have the beautiful tree, and we would have Christmas music playing, and we want to buy them the biggest and best gifts that we could afford at the time and pile all that stuff under the tree. And every single time that I ever spent any amount of time putting something together or purchasing some big item or laying out 40 gifts under the tree, every time, if there was a big box anywhere in the pile, my kids would leave the stuff I stayed up all night putting together. They would leave all the expensive toys and all the expensive stuff that we bought that we thought they would absolutely love. And they would play with that box. And they would play with the box all day long. And they wouldn't pay attention to the tree that we decorated. They wouldn't pay attention to the Christmas music playing or the movies we had on. They wouldn't pay attention to the big meals we were having or the toys that we bought them. All they cared about was that box. And it was the last thing, y'all, that I would have ever thought they would have been excited about on Christmas morning. Well, let me suggest to you that Jesus is just like that box. We plan our Christmases around everything but Jesus. We plan our celebrations around everything but Jesus. We put up the tree, but we're really not thinking about Jesus. We decorate the tree, but we're not really thinking about Jesus. We buy the gifts, and we say that we're buying them because the wise men brought gifts, and it's our way of teaching our kids about Jesus. But really, the gifts aren't about Jesus, right? They're about getting presents, and the kids want to get the presents. We play the music, and even if the music is about Jesus, Tim, half the time we don't even listen to what it's saying. We just have it playing in the background because the music's not really in our hearts about Jesus. During our celebration, the last thing on our mind is the most important thing. The last thing that we think about is the one very important part of Christmas that we can't miss. Just like all those years that I bought all those presents and did all that stuff for my kids, and all they wanted to do was play with the box, and I never expected it because I didn't think the box was worth anything. I promise you this morning, there are so many of us that are having Christmas, and to us, for all intents and purposes, Jesus isn't worth anything. We haven't put him at the center of what we're doing. He's not the point. Could you imagine a Christmas where all you bought for your kids were boxes? And that was the point? I bet you some of them would be upset at first, but I bet you they'd still play with that box. Guarantee it. We've got to put Jesus at the center. Many of us don't do it. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you'll notice in my title today, it says the Christmas box and the Christmas socks. How many of you have ever been to Grandma's house for Christmas and you wanted some great toy or great electronic thing or some amazing new fangled device, and you thought, I'm going to Grandma's house, she's going to get me what I want, and you go and you open your present and it's socks. Raise your hand if you ever got socks for Christmas at Grandma's house. You ever got socks for Christmas? When I was a kid, I hated getting socks for Christmas. In fact, I hated getting any clothes for Christmas at all. I wanted toys, I wanted games, I wanted electronics, I wanted stuff. I didn't want clothes. And every time I would open the socks, my grandma or my mom or whoever bought the socks or the clothes for me, they would come up and they would say, are those your size? Do you think they'll fit? And I would go, I want to burn these right now. I don't want these socks. But do you know what happened the next week? I put the socks on because I realized when I looked at my drawer, all my socks from last year had holes in them. They were stained up. They were ugly. And I went, "Woo! I really needed these socks. I really needed these underwear. I really needed that pair of pants." You see, when I went to Christmas, I didn't want the socks, but I needed the socks. This Christmas, you may not want Jesus, but I promise you, you need Jesus. Jesus is like the box and the socks, okay? We miss it. We don't pay attention to it, even though that's what we need more than anything else this Christmas. We need Jesus. The gift is the relationship. Look at the person next to you and say, the gift is the relationship. The gift is the relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to prove that to you today. I'm going to prove to you today that the real gift, the real reason to celebrate, to have joy, to be excited on Christmas is not the stuff, it's not the decorations, it's not the music, it's not the food, and guess what? It's also not your family. All those things can be good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All those things can have their place. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
But those things are not the point, and they are not the purpose, and they are not what makes Christmas special. And let me ask you this simple question before we get into these scriptures. I'm going to prove to you that those aren't the point. None of that stuff's the point of Christmas. What if I told you today that you had to celebrate Christmas, listen to me, but you couldn't have a tree? Go home and take it down. Throw it in the garbage. No ornaments, none of your past, none of your kids' little feet, you know, little booties on there, none of that stuff. Take it all down, throw it in the garbage. You can never have a Christmas tree again. Could you still celebrate Christmas?
Yes.
You should be able to celebrate Christmas, but it may not feel like it. It may be tough. Well, what if I said no Christmas music? Don't play the Christmas music. Don't play the Christmas movies. No media. Could you still have Christmas? What would it look like without the tree, the decorations, and all the history of your family and your kids? What would it look like without the music and without the movies? Is it still Christmas? What if you took away the family gatherings and the meals? What if your family didn't get together for Christmas? And you didn't have turkey and ham and dressing and sweet potato pie and all the stuff that we have for Christmas meal. That's the celebration part. I don't care what anybody says. That's when we celebrate. The food comes out and the people show up. What if that didn't happen this year? Could you still celebrate Christmas without the food and without the family? And here's the real tough one. Are you ready? Hold on to your pews, okay? What if everybody you love died? Every person you love died. And you woke up on Christmas morning. Could you still celebrate Christmas? Because you see what happens when I ask that question and I layer it down from the Christmas tree to the music, to the food, to the family gatherings, to no family.
You're it. You're alone. Why do you feel alone? Why do you feel as if the presence of the Holy Spirit's not with you? Why do you feel in that moment when I say all your family's gone, you're going, oh no, that can't be Christmas. That would be horrible. That's the worst thing I can imagine. Well, folks, if you're thinking that, it's because at Christmas, you are not worshiping Jesus. Hello. You're worshiping trees and music and movies and stuff and food and family and people that you love. I am not telling you today that family gatherings are bad. Don't leave here and tell somebody, Tim. Pastor Shane said, when you get together with your family at Christmas, that's idolatry. It's not. What I'm asking is, could you worship Jesus without all of that? In the absence of all of those things, is Jesus still the reason that you celebrate? I say again, the relationship is the real gift. If you have a relationship with Jesus, that's all that matters. That's it. And you can celebrate that. And we're going to get into that today. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Our relationship with Jesus, this relationship that is the gift, it is the point, the reason to celebrate, this relationship with Jesus makes redemption possible. You see, the real gift's not the stuff and all that things that we talked about. The real gift here is that we are redeemed. Look at the person next to you, say, you're redeemed. You are redeemed. Listen to what Matthew 1:21 says. And she will bring forth a son. Famous, famous verse about the birth of Jesus. You've heard it in the Christian story many times, or the Christmas story. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name what, church? For he will save his people from their sins. Listen to me, folks. Without Jesus, there's no forgiveness for sin. No forgiveness. Today, right here, right now, if there is no Jesus, you are still lost in your sin. You cannot be forgiven in the eyes of God without Jesus. Think about every sin that you ever committed, every person you ever hurt, every impure thought, every impure action, everything. Without Jesus, that is still hanging over your head and weighing you down. Jesus came to forgive sinners, and without Jesus, there is no forgiveness. Is that a gift? Is that the best gift you've ever gotten in your life? Is forgiveness? And we're going to keep going, and you're going to learn it is the best gift. Because if you don't get it, you're in real trouble. If you don't get that gift, you are in real trouble. He will save his people from their sins. Say to the person next to you, there's no forgiveness without Jesus. There's no forgiveness. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It says, who gave himself for us, speaking of Jesus, that he might do what, church? Redeem. That he might redeem us. That word redeem means to release, to liberate by payment. That means we were in chains, we were in bondage, we were in slavery. There was something holding us down, something that was boxing us in. There was something we could not escape. And that was the sin that we just talked about. All the sins you've ever committed, they bind you up and they won't let you go. And Jesus, the real reason, the gift, he came and redeemed us. He set us free. He liberated us.
Yes.
And he did it by paying a price. Somebody tell me what price he paid this morning. He paid the price on the cross. He died. He gave his life so that you and I would not have to die. He gave his life so that you could be forgiven, liberated, and set free. If you feel set free this morning, it's because you have a relationship with Jesus. Period. If you feel set free spiritually this morning, it's because you have a relationship with Jesus. The relationship is the gift. Look at the person next to you and say, there's no freedom without Jesus.
No freedom without Jesus.
There's no freedom without Jesus. There's no forgiveness without Jesus. Look at Matthew 20, 28. Matthew 20, 28. It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his what? Life as a ransom for many. We talked about in the scripture that I just shared that Jesus had to redeem us. That means there had to be a payment. If he was going to free us, something had to be paid. Now, do you know what the scripture says is the payment for your sin and my sin? It says the payment's death. It comes with a death penalty. All of our sin, your pastor included, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, the saints you used to know in the church, all their sins too, they all came with a death penalty. And that death penalty had to be paid. It's just like going to jail and somebody paid the bail. It's just like somebody going to jail and someone coming up and saying, they didn't do it, I did it. Right? Take them out of jail and put me in. That's what Jesus did for us. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He paid the price. Look at the person next to you and say, without Jesus, there's no payment. Without Jesus, there's no forgiveness. Without Jesus, there's no redemption. Without Jesus, there is no freedom. Without Jesus, there is no payment. And you still owe. Without Jesus. The relationship with Jesus, folks, this morning is the real gift. It's the real reason to celebrate. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to go deep on you this morning. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. I once did a study on Hebrews. It was very long. We did verse by verse, chapter by chapter. For months we did Hebrews. And I had an older gentleman in our church. He came up to me after one of the lessons that we did. It was a very deep lesson. And he said, out of all the years that I've been coming to church, nobody has ever read Hebrews. Nobody's ever preached it or taught that book. He said, I had no idea some of the stuff that you taught was even in the Bible. The book of Hebrews was written by Christians to Hebrew Christians, to people who understood the law of Moses, people who grew up in their culture. It wasn't written to people like us, Gentiles, people that lived in Rome or lived in the areas outside of Israel. It was written to Jesus' people. Therefore, it has a lot of depth and a lot of stuff they connect back to the Old Testament. So when I say we're going to get deep, it's because we're going back a little bit into the Old Testament this morning. Hebrews 9, 11 through 12, it says, but Christ came as a what? As a high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once for all, having attained eternal what? Redemption. You see, in Jesus' culture, they had a tabernacle, and that was a moving temple. They would put it up wherever the people went, and that was where they worshiped God and offered sacrifices. And after a while, when they went into Israel and they were established as a people and they had a place, the promised land, they were there. They built a temple and erected a brick and mortar temple, so to speak. It didn't move around with them. It was there. And in this temple, they would offer worship and they would offer sacrifice. And they had something called the high priest. And this high priest would come in and he would come in with the blood of the paschal lamb. This was a perfect lamb. You ever heard Jesus referred to as the Lamb of God? That's why he's referred to as the Lamb of God, because in the Old Testament, they would bring this perfect lamb with no blemishes, and this lamb would be sacrificed, and the blood would be taken from this pure, perfect lamb into the Holy of Holies. And I talked about this in the series already once. It was a place in the very back of the temple, or the tabernacle. It was a place where the Ark of the Covenant sat, and the Ark of the Covenant had a thing on top of it called the mercy seat. And on that mercy seat, it was said that the Shekinah of God, or the glory of God, rested and sat. It was his throne room. It was the throne room of God on earth. And they would take that blood, and you know what they do with that blood? They would sprinkle it all over the mercy seat. And that was what they did to appease God for the sins of the people. And that had to be done every year, every single year. Because people sin how often? Every year they're sinning some more. So you got to go into the mercy seat and you got to sprinkle it with this blood of the paschal lamb.
The high priest was the only one that could go into this place. None of the other priesthood could go in, and there were a lot of them. Only the high priest. But Christ came as what? See, the people, Jesus' people needed to know that Jesus was their high priest. He was the one that could make atonement for their sin. He was the one that entered the Holy of Holies. He was the one that sprinkled the blood. But guess what? The Holy of Holies wasn't in a physical tabernacle. It wasn't in a building. And he wasn't sprinkling the blood of some lamb. He was sprinkling his own blood. Hear it the way they needed to hear it this morning. They needed to know that God was fulfilling the Old Testament ways and prophecies in Jesus. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Do you know what the temple is now? Hold on to your seats again. It's you. It's us. The Bible says that we are the temple of God. So he applies that blood to our hearts. This work takes place in us. This is what Christ does as the high priest. It says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. The most holy place. You are the Holy of Holies. You are the place where God's Shekinah rests and sits. You are the throne room of God. You are the place Jesus enters and applies the blood. Man, he's our high priest, and he sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. And he obtained for us eternal redemption. I mean, I know you know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. That's it, buddy. Good job. Eternal redemption. Listen, without Jesus, there's no forgiveness. Without Jesus, there's no freedom. Without Jesus, there's no payment for your sin. And without Jesus, there is no eternity with God. Hello? Without Jesus, there is no eternity with God. If you extract Jesus from that, you and I, we are in big, big trouble, but praise God, he's there. Praise God, he did what he did. Praise God, we have access to Jesus, and it's by grace that we have access through faith. Amen, church?
Amen.
Jesus and a relationship with him is the real gift at Christmas. He's the thing that we miss, and he's the thing that we need the most. Amen? So Jesus, he provided for us redemption. Listen, I could stop the sermon right here and we'd be done, and you'd have enough to say, praise God, praise Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. Christmas is different now. My life is different now. Every day I wake up is going to be different now. When I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to say, without you, Jesus, there's no forgiveness. Without you, Jesus, there's no freedom. You open your eyes in the morning and say, without you, Jesus, there's no payment for my sins. I thank you for paying the price. Without you, Jesus, I have no hope. I have no hope for eternity. But because I do have you and because you love me, I do have hope. Do that every day. Thank him for it every day. And that'd be enough, right? That's enough to celebrate for right there. And I pray that you have that redemption, that you have that relationship with Jesus today. But do you know he does something else? I've only got one passage for you on this one, but I've got to share it. Let's take a look at the second one. Our relationship with Jesus makes a relationship with God possible. Now, I want you to stick with me for a second, okay? Because I know most of you understand that Jesus is God, okay? Most of you get that. But what I don't think a lot of people understand is that God the Father and God Jesus and God the Holy Spirit are three different persons in one. We teach it as the Trinity in Christianity. Three in one. We worship one God, but they're in three persons. Without Jesus, you have zero access to God the Father. Zero access. So when you pray, when I instruct you to pray, when you think about praying, and you pray to God, without Jesus, you can't do that. He won't hear your prayers. Do you know why he wouldn't hear your prayers without Jesus? Because you're still his enemy without Jesus. You're still lost in sin without Jesus. You still have no forgiveness without Jesus. Without Jesus, God can't hear your prayers because you and I, we're sinful creatures. He's holy and we are unholy. Some of us unholier than others. Not really, that's a joke. Not really. We're all the same unholy. And we have no access to God. None. Without Jesus. And I'm going to prove that to you by just this one passage. And I want you to pay attention to what it says and hear it this morning, maybe for the first time. Let's take a look at that, Thomas. This is Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Just a little tidbit about Romans. When I was in college studying Romans, I had one class, one entire semester that was nothing but Romans. And the professor there said that if you were to put him on a desert island with only one book of the Bible for the rest of his life, he would choose Romans because it is so deep, full of theology, full of doctrine. You could study Romans the rest of your life and no other books in the Bible, and you would still be doing pretty good. Okay? Romans is an amazing book, and it's full of depth and teaching. Romans 5, 6 through 10 says this, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the what? Ungodly. For scarce a man, a righteous man, will die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what, church? Wrath. We'll be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies," say that word, enemies. Enemies. "We were reconciled to" who? God. "Through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Thank you. Now listen to what this says. It's a deep teaching. What it's saying is that Jesus died for you even when you didn't have the strength to turn away from your sin. Yes. Hello? Jesus still died for you knowing that some of you wouldn't care about him, wouldn't want to hear his message or his word, wouldn't want to turn away from your sinful lifestyle, that some people were going to spit on him, mock him, beat him, and hang him on a cross. He still did it. Even when we were without strength, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the scripture here teaches us that that demonstrates his love for us. Look at the person next to you and say, "Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you even when you don't love him. He loved you even when you didn't love him." And then it says, "We shall be saved from wrath." You know, people want to talk about a God who's not angry. I don't know what Bible they're reading. Because if you read the same Bible that I read, God gets angry all the time. You know what God gets angry at? He gets angry at disobedient people. He gets angry with people who do things consistently in disobedience to his word and to their own well-being, if I might add that in there. He gets angry all the time. Does that mean he hates you? No. Do you get angry at your kids? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you hate them? Don't say amen to them. You know, sometimes, Keith, I have something I'm going to say and it sounds good, and then when it comes out, I go, "I'm going to have a heckler in the crowd." Somebody, yeah, I am. No. You don't hate your kids. You get angry with them because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's natural. That's what a loving parent is supposed to feel like. And yes, God gets angry. And when we are sinners, when we are lost in sin, when we are doing our own thing and we're ignoring him, then yes, his wrath is upon us. It says in this scripture that we are his enemies. We are his enemies. But he didn't want us to be his enemies, Larry.
Yes.
So he sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross, to put to death all of your sin and my sin, that redemption we talked about. And he purchased a relationship with you through Jesus.
Amen.
Hello?
He purchased a relationship with you and with me through Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no relationship with God the Father. So if you're going to celebrate this Christmas, if you're going to celebrate every day when you wake up, celebrate Jesus. The relationship is the gift. He gives us all the things we talked about being redeemed. And that redemption gives us access to our Father and our Creator in heaven. And I don't know about you, but I sure do love to pray. I sure do love to talk to God. I sure do love to go to Him and share my life with Him and pour my heart out to Him. There are things I can say to God that I don't say to anybody else. Hello? I need that relationship. And without Jesus, it isn't possible. Why do you think when we pray, we say in the name of Jesus? Because Jesus gives us access to God. Last thing I'm going to share with you today. Is our relationship with Jesus makes our relationship with the Holy Spirit possible. Without Jesus, there's no redemption. Without Jesus, there's no relationship with God the Father. And without Jesus, there is no relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want you to take a look at this scripture. This is in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And this is a twofer, okay? When I read this scripture to you, it's going to give you two truths, very central truths to Christianity. Number one, it's going to tell you how to get saved. Amen? If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is going to tell you how to get one. And it's also going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for it? Here's your twofer. Then Peter said to them, this is after the Holy Spirit had fallen on the apostles, and Peter is preaching. He's preaching to the masses that are gathered there. He says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of who? Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. He says, repent. Repentance means to turn away from your sins, to turn away from your old life, to say, I'm sick of that old me, I'm sick of that old life, I'm sick of that old sin, I'm sick of living my way, and I want to live your way. That's repentance. If you have never repented, then you have never started a relationship with Jesus, and there's no way that you have. At some point, you have to humble yourself before the Lord, and you have got to say, God, I'm sick of doing it my way, and I want to do it your way. Forgive me for my sin and name them and tell them I need you to forgive me. That's repentance. And see, here's the beauty of this. When you repent and you're baptized in the name of Jesus and it's sincere, it's real, the relationship has started. Then it says, and you shall receive the what, church? Oh, it says the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice the wording. The gift of the Holy Spirit. It's Christmas. You want a present? Have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Not only do we get the gift of grace of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, and we don't have to pay anything or purchase anything or do anything to get it, but then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift. Without Jesus, there is no gift of the Holy Spirit. Without repentance and baptism, remission of sin, there is no gift of the Holy Spirit. And you're saying, what do I need the Holy Spirit for? Some of you might just be really salty this morning. Preacher, you've been preaching 40 minutes, man. I don't need the Holy Spirit. Wrap it up. I got one more passage. You ready? That's why you need the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 8. This is why it's so important to have a relationship with Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Who's speaking here? Jesus is speaking. And his apostles, his disciples, they're upset because Jesus is leaving them. And he told them that he was leaving. And they don't want him to go. Would you want Jesus to go? I mean, if you got him to walk side by side with you, went fishing with you, hunting with you, hung out with you, did all the stuff that you do and taught you as you went, would you want him to go? I wouldn't want him to go. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. Who's the helper, church? The Holy Spirit. The helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. You don't know the beauty of the Holy Spirit? Here's the beauty of it. Jesus, if he was walking with you today, Barbara, he was a physical man. And he could only walk with you. And the only way I could be with Jesus is if I went back to your house with you. Right? No one here could have been with the physical Jesus unless you followed Jesus around. And that's what he had. He had disciples that followed him around. They went everywhere with him. They are the only ones that had physical access to Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, this ain't going to work for the whole world. I can't be everywhere at once. I've got a human body. You know, I know I've got supernatural powers, but I've limited myself on purpose. I'm not going to be able to reach everybody this way. So if I go, then I can send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is your helper. The Holy Spirit will fill your body. The Holy Spirit can be with you, Autumn, and you, Rachel, and you, Will, and you, Paula, and you, Carlotta. And we could be in the corners of the earth. And the same God is still with us. Amen? It's because of Jesus. The helper comes because he sends him to us. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit has a job to do. And without Jesus, God cannot live in you. Without Jesus, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And without Jesus, that Holy Spirit cannot convict you of sin. How many of you, as you walk with Christ, at times in life, you get convicted of sin? You go, wow, I shouldn't be thinking that way. Wow, I shouldn't be saying that. That was the wrong response to that person. Wow, you know, I'm not forgiving these people like I should. Man, this is this thing I'm watching or this place that I'm at and these people that I'm around, this is not healthy. This is not good. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's the Holy Spirit saying, get away from this. Don't do this. Do this. It's trying to lead you, and God is just trying to help you and convict you of sin. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Without Jesus, folks, there's no redemption. There's no access to the Father, and there's no access to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask Jamie to come today, and he's going to share this last song with you. And I'm going to invite you today to have a relationship with Jesus. Not a relationship with the church. Not a habit of reading your Bible. Not enjoyment in the songs that we sing in church. Not a job to do. A relationship with Jesus. And do you know how that relationship with Jesus starts? How many of you remember from Acts chapter 2, verse 38? Peter was preaching and he said what? Repent. If you are here today and you know that there is sin in your life and you have not repented of that sin, you know today, I don't know your business. Only you know your business. If you're here today and you know there's sin in your life and you have not repented of that sin and you have not been baptized and you have not started a relationship with Jesus, then it's up to you to respond. You know, the first message that I preached in this series on relationships said that Jesus made the first move. Just like in a date, you know, somebody has to ask you out. Jesus has already asked you out. He's already made the first move. He just needs you to respond if you want that relationship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.